if you brought me a cup of hot chocolate, because it's going to be cold tonight. Got to go. We're late. Don't ask what happened for the next 8 hours. I'm pretty sure I was unconscious. 37. Yoda stayed after school to watch Hannah's game. I walked home. It was finally sinking in. Bethany wanted me. Me! To sit next to her. That was extremely close to a date, which was a half step away from permission to make out and touch her glorious private bits and so on and etc. A car almost ran me over a block away from the school. I growled at it and bared my teeth. My testosterone was peaking at world record levels. I had new hair sprouting on my chest and stomach. I was turning into a wolf man with a life-threatening hard-on, all because a cinnamon-smelling girl wanted me to sit next to her. I took another shower as soon as I got home. I also took some personal time to think things over. Not going into details, thank you very much. Then I set my alarm clock and fell asleep for a couple hours. Being wanted by the woman of your dreams is exhausting work. I slept through the alarm. I had 30 minutes to become confident, manly, shaved, dressed, relaxed, and sitting on a metal bleacher armed with several gallons of hot chocolate. Crap, 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 crap. I took another shower, a quick one, because I was already beginning to stink of panic. I cut my chin shaving. I dressed in boxers and socks, all clean, one of my new shirts, a sweatshirt, jeans, clean too, sneakers, then ran downstairs. Yoda had just arrived. Hannah was all ready to go out. I was just about to ask Mom if I should make the hot chocolate or buy some at Starbucks when Dad's car pulled in the driveway. Hannah's eyes widened. "Why is he so early?" "This is early?" Yoda asked. "Way early," she said. I was thinking we should sneak out and run for the hills, but Dad stormed in before I could say anything. We watched him walk into the kitchen and put his briefcase on the table. He took off his jacket and draped it over the back of a chair. He loosened his tie, then stopped, as if he had just noticed the four of us standing there. "What are you doing home?" I blurted out. "I live here," he explained. "And it's dinner time. It's been a while since we sat down together, and..."
"We can't eat dinner," Hannah said. "It's homecoming tonight. We have to leave or we'll be late."
Dad put his hands up like a traffic cop. "Whoa, right there, young lady. Who are you going with?" Yoda raised his hand like he was in a class. "I'm taking her, Mr. Miller." Dad tilted his head to one side, confused. "Calvin?"
"Yes, Calvin."
Hannah grabbed Yoda's hand and started for the door.
"I'll be home by 11.
Dad's voice turned icy. "You do not have permission to leave." Hannah froze. Yoda swallowed hard.
"I'm going out too,"
I said, in an unfortunately high voice. I cleared my throat. "They're going with me. We're all going together. To the game."
"Like hell you are."
"Dad, I have plans," I said. Visions of every straight guy in school on their knees offering hot chocolate to the goddess Bethany. Mom stepped between us and picked up Dad's jacket.
"Look, Bill, I'll cook a nice dinner tomorrow."
She folded the jacket neatly over her arm.
"Why don't you and I go someplace quiet? Catch up with each other."
"I want dinner. With my family. In my house. Tonight," Dad announced. "End of discussion."
"I'll make some quick sandwiches and heat up some soup," Mom said. "And we have leftover chicken. Extra crispy."
Dad smacked the counter with his hand so hard that the bowl of apples jumped. He waited until the echoes died away before he spoke quietly.
We have a freezer packed with food, he said. Please make me a decent dinner. He picked up his briefcase. Calvin is going home. Hannah can stay in her room until it's time to eat. And Tyler? Mow that goddamn lawn. I weighed my options. Was the chance to sit next to Bethany for a couple of hours worth the guaranteed wrath of my father, which would include a night of bellowing rage, the total annihilation of my self-esteem, broken dishes, and possibly getting tossed out of the house? Well, yeah, of course it was. But it was not worth the nastiness that he would also inflict on my sister, who already had a tear slipping over the faded bruise from her black eye, and my mother, who was pouring herself the first tonic-free gin and tonic she'd had in weeks. Yoda left. Hannah slammed her door. I stayed and mowed the lawn as badly as I could, as the streetlights flickered on, dreaming up 1,001 ways to hurt the man who spawned me. 38. Mom did it. She cooked a sit-down dinner for four. Pork roast, baked potatoes, steamed carrots, and a side salad with your choice of dressing. Sure, it was 9 p.m. by the time we got to eat, but you couldn't rush perfection. Pass the pork, please, Dad said. Mom had decided to pass on dinner. She was passed out on her bed. The cover story was that she had a migraine. What she really had was enough gin to put down a horse and a desire to shove that roast up Dad's... But no, honest, her migraines were always the worst when the seasons were changing. It had to do with barometric pressure. Hannah passed the meat platter to Dad. Another piece, Tyler? Dad asked. Throw a potato in his face. Smash the platter over his head. Pick up the table, throw it through the sliding glass door, then heave him out, too. Find a grenade. Butter, please, I said. Hannah passed me the butter. I divided a half stick between two baked potatoes. Hannah had scooped out the inside of her potato and was mashing it on her plate. Dad cut his slice of pork. The knife squealed on the plate. Dad did not flinch. He cut and chewed. Cut and chewed. How was school? He asked. Hannah spooned cold, overcooked carrots onto the potatoes. Fascist. You don't even know what that means, Dad said. Huh. That was supposed to sound like laughter. Yes, Hannah said carefully. I do. We're studying it. Dad grunted. Coming home at a decent hour, forcing Mom to cook, making jokes at the table, something was desperately wrong with my father. I studied him whenever he looked at Hannah. It wasn't the bloodshot eyes, or the stain on his tie, or the twitch in his left cheek. It was what I got when I put those things together. Ever smell the milk jug when you open it and you don't think you smell anything funky, so you pour a big glass and you take a giant gulp, and as soon as it hits your mouth, you know it has gone bad. And you spit it in the sink and race upstairs to gargle? And when you finally stop needing to heave, you realize that you did smell something funny at first, but you didn't know what to call it. That's what I thought of when I looked at my father. What else are you studying? He asked my sister. How's algebra? Hannah obliterated the carrots with the tines of her fork. Algebra is fine. She blended the carrots and potatoes together. Not that you care, she added under her breath. What did you say? Dad asked. Stop playing with your food. Is there a problem? Hannah pushed her chair away from the table. She stood up and let her napkin float to the ground. May I please be excused? Her voice shook a little. You haven't finished, Dad said. I'm not hungry and I still have homework. Algebra homework. Dad made her stand there a full minute before he answered. Fine. Hannah couldn't hold it in any longer. As she bolted from the room, she said, And I'll check on Mom. She started sobbing halfway up the stairs. We looked at the empty doorway and listened until a door slammed overhead. Dad carried his empty glass into the kitchen, dropped a couple ice cubes into it, and unscrewed a bottle. He came back carrying a full glass of scotch, his third. That was weird, too. He never drank more than one a night. I reached for the pepper.
"How's work?"
"Pass that over here, will you?" he asked. I handed him the shaker.
"You've seemed, busy."
He shook the pepper on his carrots. "That's one word for it." He put down the shaker, picked up his glass, and took a long, slow sip. I waited, but he just sat there, elbow leaning on the table, glass in his hand, looking down at the spot where Mom wasn't sitting. He turned the glass so the light from the chandelier caught and reflected off it.
"Some of the branch offices aren't playing by the rules." He looked at me over the rim.
"Playing by the rules cuts into commissions."
"Why is this your problem?"
"Because I'm compliance, and the feds are investigating." He took a big slug of scotch and set the glass down heavily.
"Enough of that. I've almost got it under control. Your last probation meeting is coming up, isn't it?"
I shook my head. "Two more. One in a couple weeks, one in November."
"I told you it would go fast."
He speared a piece of meat and put it in his mouth.
"Another couple months and no one will remember it ever happened."
"Except the entire student body, police force, and anyone within a 50-mile radius of my school."
"I'll go with you," he added.
"What? Where?"
He talked while he chewed. "To your probation meeting. The last one. I'll make sure all the loose ends are tied up."
He cut the fat off the next bite of meat and pushed it to the edge of the plate. Dad hated the feel of fat in his mouth.
"You don't have to. It'll waste a whole afternoon. Maybe Mom could go."
"Your mother and I have already discussed this. She said she told you." I bet it slipped her mind. Out of nowhere, he smacked the table with his left hand.
"Damn it! She promised!"
The veins running up the sides of his neck beat like writhing snakes.
"Whoa, hold on. Mom must have forgot. Her migraines."
"Dad, are you okay?" He took a deep breath and blinked. Then he stuck another piece of meat in his mouth.
"Of course I am. What a ridiculous question. I was just surprised, that's all."
I looked at my plate so I wouldn't have to watch him chew.
"Is there any chance they won't expel my record?"
"Expunge. The word is expunge.
You keep your nose clean and you pull your grades out of the toilet, it will be like it never happened."
"This pork is tasty, don't you think?"
"Like it never happened.
Like my mother was lying down because of a migraine."
39. Homecoming, Friday night, play-by-play action.
Looked at French book by Albert somebody, equals 0.25 hours. Printed out English essay Yoda emailed, equals 2 minutes. AP art history reaction paper, equals 15 minutes. IM equals monitored constantly, the entire world was away. Doodled breasts in government textbook, equals 20 minutes. Surfed online journals, equals when I got sick of reading away messages. Online porn equals, you don't want to know. Snack equals leftover KFC followed by handful of Tums. Thought about ripping out drywall with my bare hands equals every other minute. AP Calc equals 0.75 hours before I threw the book in the trash. Played Tophet equals 5 hours. Level 36 in Tophet looked like Antarctica with the temperature hovering around 70 degrees below zero. I was confused. Hell was supposed to be too hot, not too cold. But level 36 was Inuit hell. I had to spend way too much gold on a fur-lined jacket, pants, and boots for Gormley. I sacrificed a spell to start a fire so he wouldn't freeze to death. You couldn't really die in hell. You'd be reincarnated as a weaker being over and over again until you were reduced to a worm spirit. My father's hell level had not shown up yet. Maybe it was being trapped in an office with a screaming boss whose butt you had to kiss day and night. Maybe it was coming home to a wife and kids who bolted for the door when they saw you. Or it was waking up every morning, knowing you had to do the same exact thing you did the day before and the day before. Like that guy who had to roll the boulder up the mountain over and over. Except you'd know that when you died, there'd be no relief. Because you were already dead. And this was what you won as the booby prize in the game of eternal soul roulette. I wondered what the devil would say to my father. Would they watch baseball? Discuss the bond market? I fell asleep with my head on my desk. Dad woke me up at 5 a.m. He was already dressed for work. Black suit, white shirt, gray tie. He said he had to get to the office early. I did not tell him it was Saturday. I wasn't in the mood for a confrontation. 40. On Monday morning, my father went to his office again. My mother ate dry toast for breakfast, then she went to work too. She had to take pictures of the mayor's terriers wearing red and green plaid vests. My sister and I went to school. We learned that we had lost the homecoming game. The perfect American family continued to lead their perfect bullshit lives perfectly. 41. In order to convince Bethany that I was not a rude, disgusting pig, I spent homeroom apologizing 100,000 times for standing her up at the game. "It's okay," she said again. "Honest, I get it. You've seen my mother. I understand parents who freak out, trust me." "Is that a new shirt?" "Yeah, I guess," I said, praying that I had taken off all the tags. "My mom bought it. I like it. But you know what, Tyler Miller?" She focused her eyes on me. The rest of the world was sucked away into a giant vortex, leaving only the two of us. "You are too old to let your mommy buy your clothes." "I am? I mean, yeah, I am. You should go shopping with me. I'll take care of you." "Oh, dear God, will you ever?" I was experiencing a noticeable lack of penis control. I slouched a little in my seat to hide the bulging evidence. She didn't notice. She turned around to ask Mikhail Roberts, sitting behind her, if he did the chem homework. But she did not offer to take him shopping. Ha! 42. Bethany flirted with me for the next 2 weeks. She also flirted with a soccer halfback named Stefan. Evan, who had the drum solo in the marching band, both of the Prakish brothers, and Parker, the moronic sophomore who I put through the gym locker. I figured the only thing she saw in Parker was the Corvette he had been promised for his 16th birthday. Bethany was smart like that, always looking ahead. If you lined me up with the other guys, you'd start singing, "One of these things is not like the others," from Sesame Street. The other guys, they all blurred into each other. Rich, smart, athletic, and popular. Me? I stood out. The semi-bad boy guaranteed to bring some spice into her life. Of course, there was always the chance that she was totally setting me up for major humiliation, or that this was all mercy flirting. But honestly, I didn't care. You could tell that Halloween was just around the corner when the Christmas decorations went up at the mall. The weather finally turned cold, and girls started wearing turtlenecks that showed their belly buttons. Bethany owned a black cashmere turtleneck. It was a little longer than the other girls, but short enough to flash a quick hint of belly skin when she reached up to fix her hair. She was now touching me an average of 2.4 times a day. The day the doctor gave her permission to play tennis again was the first day she hugged me. hug number one. She hugged a bunch of other people, too, including all her girlfriends on the team, Zithead Parker, and both Prakish brothers. But she was enthusiastic like that. When I saw Mr. Benson at the courthouse that afternoon, he said I looked different.
Got a girl?